a tour guide was talking with a group of school kids at Yellowstone National Park. And one of the children, a little girl, asked this tour guide, says, "Have you ever come face to face with a wolf?" The tour guide says, "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I came face to face with a wolf. And as luck would have it, I was all alone and without a weapon." "Well, what did you do?" the little girl said. "What could I do? I looked that wolf straight in the eye. But slowly he came toward me, looking me straight in the eye. And I moved back, but he kept coming, nearer and nearer. I had to think fast." "Well, how did you get away?" the little girl said. "Well, as a last resort, I just kind of turned and walked just as quickly as I could to the next cage." That tour guide was trusting in that fence that was between him and the wolf. He was trusting in that fence to protect him, just as we today have to trust in God and seek to live life in the fullness of God. If you will, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In verses 16 through 19, Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers. In this prayer, he summarizes what he has said concerning God's purpose for being. He summarizes what God is trying to tell not only the church in Ephesus, but the church here at Bethel today. That salvation was not just for the Jews at this period of time, but it was also for the Gentiles. It was for everybody. Notice that before he offers the content of this prayer, that he gives an introduction glorifying God. We often forget to do that. We say, "Well, it's time to pray." And we bow our head, we close our eyes, and the first thing out of our mouth or in our subconscious is, "God, give me." God, I need. God, I want. And we should all begin our prayers with, God, I praise you for that that I already have. Amen. How many times? And I'm just as guilty as you are. I do the same thing. God, I want Bethel Church to grow. God, I want a new car. God, I want this. Lord, I want a T-bone steak for supper. And Daniel is sitting here telling me no to all of the above. But we do this consistently. But God inhabits the praises of his people. There are three primary requests in this prayer that Paul is praying. Request number one, you see in verse 16, that God would grant strength in their inner being with power through his Spirit. So Paul is asking, Lord, give them strength that they may be able to stand. The second request in verse 18, that the saints would be able to comprehend the full extent of Christ's love. I'm not totally stupid, but in my mind, I cannot comprehend, I cannot fathom the vastness of God's love and God's plan for our life. But I know he has one. I accept that plan through faith that God is in control. In verse 19, Paul addresses the fact that he wants all of the believers, not just the Jews, not just the Gentile, but every single solitary person, including all of us here at Bethel today. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of God. Paul is also careful to point out that in order for the believer to comprehend the fullness of God, they must be rooted and grounded in love. Love is a main theme throughout the entire Bible. God created the heavens and the earth out of love. He created man out of love and made man in his own image. And he gave us rules to live by out of love, that we may benefit and that we may prosper and that we may be rooted and grounded in the love of God. We as believers need to receive all that God gives. We need to receive the fullness of God. We can all testify to the fact that God has blessed us. He's blessed us immensely. We could never begin to tell all of the things that God has done for us. But all that he has done does not begin to scratch the surface of the things that he has in store for us as believers. The Apostle Paul ended his prayer by emphasizing doctrine, by proclaiming two major themes. Paul talked about the need to praise God because he is an all-sufficient God. We need to praise God because of Christ's ability to provide abundantly and far greater than we could even fathom. I like to talk about and think about that multitude of 5,000 people that were sitting on the hillside that I've mentioned in the last couple of sermons that I've preached. Their mind could not fathom that they were going to even eat, much less that they would have all that they could eat, all that they could hold. They could fill their little tummies to capacity, and there would still be 12 basketfuls left over. Their mind couldn't fathom that. Neither can our mind fathom today the greatness and the fullness that God has for us.
We do have an all-sufficient Savior. Therefore, Christ is due all of our praise and honor and glory that we could give to Him. The second thing that Paul emphasizes, and this theme is shorter, but it's just as important to the message of the gospel. And it says that the power of God worketh in us. The gospel is the message of God's sufficiency. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about God is able. God can do all of these things. He's willing to do all of these things. We are not alone. We have an all-sufficient God. It's a message of appropriation of God's power working in us as Christians. The power of the gospel is the fact that God has chosen by His grace, by His love, by His work, that we can reach out and touch the lives of others. And they too can come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because of the greatness of God's power, which is involved in the redemption of man, God is to receive glory in the church. We as a church should begin right now, today, this morning, to give God praise and glory for the lives of the children that will be touched by Vacation Bible School this week. It should be our daily prayer that these children that we're going to come in contact with will realize that Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, Christ's ascension. Because of all of this, these children need to realize that they can have a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Paul's words, these children can be filled with the fullness of God. Our lives can be refilled with this fullness as we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's a book called the Speaker Source Book. And there's a comment in this book that says that Christ sends none away empty, but those who are full of themselves. We have to empty ourselves before Christ and acknowledge that we are nothing without Him, without His blood covering our life. Christ sends none away empty, but those that are full of themselves. If we're full of ourselves, there's not room in there for us and for Christ. We have to submit everything to Christ. God's salvation not only offers redemption from sin, it gives believers the privilege of receiving power and the ability that comes from God, the Almighty One. John 3:16 tells us that God is interested in the welfare of every one of us. It was God that thought of sending His only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Paul wanted the Ephesians to have knowledge, but he wanted them to have the kind of knowledge that is attained by interpersonal relationship with Christ. He wanted them to be strengthened and to welcome the Holy Spirit into their heart and into their life. Isn't that what we want for our children to receive this coming week in Vacation Bible School? We want them to receive Christ and to have a personal relationship with Him. The apostle wanted the Ephesians to comprehend the fullness of life, the life of love. The love of God is one of the greatest realities in the universe. This love, this hope that we have in Jesus Christ is what our world rests upon. Our world needs this love. We're living in a time now that there is very little love shown, even in families. And if you're not a member of a family, chances are no one will stop by to say, I love you. I have a member of my family that when I was growing up, I do not remember this person ever telling me that he loved me. I felt like he did. It was an understood thing. But those words never came from his mouth. Never did he say, Karen, I love you. And there are children out there that have never heard those words from their parent. And I want us as workers at Vacation Bible School to be an example of that love. Because these children are going to look up to us. But I don't want them to see me. I don't want them to see Daniel or Dana or any of the rest of you workers at Bible school. But when they look at us, I want them to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him raised from the dead and Him sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father making intercession for them. I want them to see that love in us. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about today, that these children need love. These Ephesian people needed to comprehend the vastness of God's love. I've often wondered about the Apostle Paul, what really made him tick. Paul was totally committed to serving Christ. Paul considered it a privilege to participate in God's plan for the church. Paul was not a reluctant preacher. He didn't sit back and say, well, I would, but that church has been there for 180 years and it's just like it was. And Paul didn't say that. Paul had a vision. We have a vision today to reach these young people in this community for Jesus Christ. Paul loved the church. He wasn't reluctant. Yes, God gives us love. God loves us. But loving is not just something that God does. Love is something God is. God is love. Paul demonstrated his commitment to love the church, to love God. He expressed this in his prayers. He knew that nothing short of a vision of the glory of God and nothing short of an experience of the greatness of the power of God at work within them could sustain the Ephesians. Folks, there's nothing short of the glory of God that can sustain us today. We can try our best and it will fail, but we have to have the power of Jesus Christ in our life in order to sustain us day by day. The same prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus is for us today here at Bethel. God has given us a vision to reach our children, and God is ready and waiting to shower us with His power, to enable us to do the task that He has called us to do.